It is the Power Hour, final hour, G-Bag Nation here, 105.3 The Fan, your home of the Dallas Cowboys and Texas Rangers baseball. We got Jared Sandler with us in studio. He's getting set for Rangers Hot Stove coming up at the top of the hour. He's going to have our buddy Dave Raymond on. They'll talk about the new Rangers television network, Kyle Higashioka, new Rangers catcher, former San Diego Padres going to be jumping on the show. So that's going to be a blast. Already got baseball season right around the corner. We'll be right in spring training probably a month from now. It's crazy to think. We were just talking to Jared. Hey, when are you flying out? I think Valentine's Day. Right around there he's going to be going as we are about to catch up with Dave Hellman, Fox Sports here on your home of the Cowboys, 105 through the Fan. But, Brian, we don't really have any new news technically yet when it comes to what the Cowboys are going to do with offensive coordinator.
No, I have not. And, the thing with Clayton Adams, and I was told to, tap the brakes on that. And so we'll see how things, play out here the next couple of days for sure.
Well, let's welcome in our buddy Dave Hellman, Fox Sports, always kicking butt, taking names there out in Hollywood now. Dave, how the hell are you doing, man? Thanks for jumping on with us.
I'm doing wonderful, guys. It's good to hear from you. What's going on?
All right, Dave. I was ticked off. I was emotional. I was Cowboy sad with really just the process. I don't want to take it out on Shoddy, but as we've had time to really kind of sink into this, what are your thoughts on the direction the Cowboys are going with their head coach and the staff so far?
I mean, and I think you do this long enough, and maybe it helps for me to not have the perspective of fandom to where, I've never felt, emotionally tied to it. I feel the same as I did on Friday night, which, we can relitigate it if we want to. I thought the process was very unimaginative and very unthorough. I watched the press conference. I saw how defensive Jerry Jones was. He claims that it's very risky to hire a guy who's never been a head coach. I think that it's very convenient to hire a guy who works 300 feet away from your desk, who, has already been there, already is neck deep in the offense, already knows the way that the organization works. I think it's a convenient hire more than anything. And there's nothing risky about any head coaching hire when you can't get fired for doing it. So I don't think it was a thorough or inventive process, but I'm with you in the sense that that's not Brian Schottenheimer's fault.
No.
And I'm going to do my damnedest to be fair to him because he's in this position now. And we've seen success stories from all over the place. I said it, whatever it was, I think it was a day after the press conference. I love the hire of Matt Eberflus as DC. I think that's a great move. I think he has coached some really impressive defenses. He's got some good talent to work with. He has a relationship with the Cowboys. He knows Will McClay. He knows how to work with those guys. And I think all over the league, you see that it's a trend for a reason. For especially a first-time head coach to bring in a defensive coordinator who can oversee that side of the ball and take a lot of stuff off of your plate. You see that all over the league. Ben Johnson just hired Dennis Allen in Chicago. So I was encouraged by that. I've been encouraged by some of the names that I've heard thrown out there for OC. I've been a little leery of some other names that I've heard. So I'll reserve judgment until the whole staff is in place. I'm going to do my best to give Brian Schottenheimer a chance while also keeping in mind that the Joneses were in charge of the hire and the Joneses are still in charge of the day-to-day of the team. And, the proof will probably be in the pudding as we move through free agency and the draft process and find out just how serious they want to be about this whole thing.
David, looking forward to seeing you in New Orleans next week, buddy. Excited about
it. I can't wait, man. Yeah. It's going to be a blast.
It'll be fun to see you there. I hope is Carm making the trip too?
She absolutely is.
All right, cool. That's be good. Hey. It'd be great to see you both.
First round of muffalettas on
absolutely.
Me, Dave.
Absolutely. All right.
You got it, brother.
Were you surprised though that were you surprised that Mike really walked away from this job then? Because you're starting to hear that there was a 3-year deal, 5-year deal. He was wanting more. Are you surprised that Mike just didn't take the deal and keep coaching? Or do you feel like he had enough of being here?
Yeah, I saw the report from our buddy Todd Archer this morning. So 3 years versus 5 years. I think you can paint that however you want to. I think you can look at it from the Cowboys' perspective and say, well, what had Mike McCarthy done to earn another full 5-year deal, to earn that much job security with the way that things had gone? And, you know, for as highly as I think of some of the things Mike McCarthy did, they still disappointed on several occasions, and obviously his final season didn't go remotely the way that it was supposed to. It wasn't trending to go that way even before Dak got hurt. So I see it from the Cowboys' point of view, and I also I see it from Mike's point of view in the sense of, hey, why do I have to grovel for a job? I've done this, that, and the other. I've coached this many playoff teams. I've won a Super Bowl. You know, I took, you know, you say what you want. I understand that this isn't the goal, and that speaks to how far the Cowboys have fallen over the last 30 years. But Mike McCarthy oversaw the best stretch of regular season football in recent Cowboys history. So I understand it from both points of view. I get it if the Cowboys didn't think he deserved that much job security. I get it from his side if he didn't want to grovel for a lesser contract. I'm curious to see. It's not necessarily shocking to me that there wasn't another job out there for him. I never really bought the idea that he was going to be this hot commodity. But if he does take another go at this next year, I'm curious to see if it's going to be any better for him. That's kind of what I think, too. And so I think that's the question for me is like, okay, Mike, you don't have to grovel for a 3-year contract if you don't want to. But I hope he's at peace with the thought that it could be his last chance. Because, I mean, you never know for sure. I think it's possible that somebody could give him another shot. But by no means do I think it's like a guarantee that somebody's going to come after him when the next hiring cycle goes around.
What do you think about the Eberflus stuff?
I think it's a great hire. Like, I think it is, you know, it would have been fun if you could have gotten Robert Saleh, but it makes way too much sense for him to go back to San Francisco. Dennis Allen was another guy that I would have been interested in, but Dennis Allen has deep ties to Dan Campbell, and therefore, you know, it makes sense that he would link up with Ben Johnson. So if those two guys aren't on the table, Matt Eberflus was a part of some good defenses in Dallas. You know, he oversaw some really good linebacker play during his time with the Cowboys. And obviously, look, I know that it wasn't good in Chicago, but they had some nice stretches on defense. They had the best defense in the league over the second half of last season. And, you throw in Micah Parsons, some of the other guys that they have on that defense. Like, as far as, you know, if we're going to try to be optimistic about hiring Brian Schottenheimer, I think getting the DC hire right is a good first step, and I think that they did.
I'd like to first thank you for handling me with kid gloves on that one.
We'd
and apologize for wasting your time and just doubling down.
I would never.
Dave, I would have respected you more if you would have called him out for, like, didn't I answer that question earlier? If you'd have said that, I would have had even more respect for you, David.
If I had to deal with y'all every day, maybe that would be a different story, but I'm merely a guest.
Okay. Let me ask you this. the importance of bringing back Osa Digizua, they're calling it a priority. Would it be a priority for you?
It's so hard to answer that question because we know how this typically goes with the Cowboys. And like, yeah, we can say a bunch about priorities, but when other teams get involved, that can change in a hurry, you know? And if another DC identifies him as a crucial component of what they do, are the Cowboys going to keep up with the open market? I mean, I guess theoretically you could franchise tag him. I don't know if Osa and love the guy. I'm not trying to throw shade at him, but that's a big number when you franchise tag a guy. I don't know if you would be willing to do that for a 1-year deal. And I don't know if you would want to extend him at or near the top of the market. So, yeah, I believe them that he is a guy that they're going to prioritize, but I've done this song and dance a million times where we get to the Monday of free agency opening and you start to hear rumbles where it's like, oh, okay, well, he was a priority until they heard what somebody else's number was, and there's just no way that's going to happen. So I think it would be a good idea to keep him around. I think he's a hell of a player. I think it's easier said than done unless you're willing to franchise tag him.
David, everybody seems to be in the discussion about this Ashton Jeanty and whether you take him at 12 or not, if he's available. Where do you kind of fall on this? I know you're a big fan of modern football and all that, but I think you got some old soul in you for wanting to take a running back.
My thing with the running back discourse is I could go either way. And I think that's what I'm learning from what we've seen in the NFL this year is there's no one way to do it. You know, like for a lot of times, I think people got obsessed with the idea of like dropping a seventh round pick at running back onto a talented offense. And that's how you save all this money and you can make it to a Super Bowl with a running back who counts this much toward your cap. Well, a team just made the Super Bowl that is paying a running back a hell of a lot of money. And a few other teams made a push at the Super Bowl with very expensive running backs on their roster. So it can be done. I just think it's a matter of where are you in the team building process? I still think running back is further down the list of priorities. Like if I'm looking at the Cowboys and man, it feels like they've got so much work to do. If I were the Cowboys, I'm more worried about fortifying both of the lines. I'm more worried about finding another option at receiver. All of that stuff comes into my mind before I'm worried about running back. But like I said, I mean, I don't know. Stephen Jones said the other day that they're going to take a hard look at how they do free agency. Mm-hmm. If they're being sincere about that, maybe they do more to address the team in free agency this year. Maybe they do add a couple of pieces that they otherwise wouldn't. And I'm not saying that they're going to go like fishing for the monster free agents, but if they do some legitimate work in free agency this year and address some of the problems on this team ahead of time, I would have no issue at all taking Ashton Jeanty. And at 12 overall, I'm fairly confident he'll be one of, if not the very best player available in that spot. There I don't even go, think David. It's a guarantee. I don't even think it's a guarantee he would last that long, sure. Especially
sure.
when you see the impact that running backs have had in the league. I mean, we're not the only people that pay attention to this stuff. So I don't even know it's a guarantee that he gets there. But if the Cowboys have done some other work and their offensive line looks like it's in good shape, the rest of their offense looks like it's in good shape, I'm fine with it. I get nervous when your solution to the problem is just Ashton Jeanty. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think that's the way you want to look at it. But depending on what else they do, I could absolutely be on board with it.
What do you think about the Super Bowl matchup?
You know, I was saying this on our podcast this week. I get it. And, I mean, especially in Dallas, obviously, Cowboy fans don't want to watch the Eagles in the Super Bowl. I understand it. But people don't like rematches because we've seen it. But, man, just as a football fan and a football nerd, this matchup is just so damn good. It's so exciting. I think it's so fascinating to see Mahomes and Reed and some of the talent that they have going against. I've been saying this, you know, I've gotten a ton of stuff wrong this year, but one of my very best calls of the year was, I think before Halloween, I kind of picked up on like, oh, hey, I think Philly is the best overall roster in this entire league. Like they've got guys everywhere. And so I'm fascinated to see if they can finally be the team that takes down Mahomes. Or I said this the other day, if Mahomes and the Chiefs win this game, I think it'll be the single most impressive win of this entire three-peat, honestly. So from a pure football perspective, I'm geeked for it.
Speaking of football geeking out, did you enjoy the college football playoff, the 12 team we got to see with the Natty, Notre Dame, Ohio State? Did it play out kind of how you envisioned?
It was fun. I mean, I'm torn on it. I'm in favor of more football. I'm in favor of more teams having a shot. I mean, it's more exciting to sit there and watch that game and be like, all right, well, there's a chance my guys could be in it. You know, Brian, our team, we did some work in the portal.
Sure we did.
Our quarterback coming back, yep. Young Nuss. Like I'm sitting there thinking like, we have a great shot to be one of the 12 best teams in college football. So that's exciting. But at the same time, what I always loved about college football was I thought it did the best job of rewarding the best team. You know, you couldn't afford to make a mistake. And yeah, somebody might get screwed over because it was such an exclusive process, but you could count on the teams that got there truly deserving it. And obviously, once they got into the playoffs, Ohio State proved their caliber completely. I mean, they crushed everybody. They looked so good. But It's a little bit of a bummer to me as a college football purist that you can lose on the last day of the season to your biggest rival who wasn't good and not really suffer any repercussions for that. That's not the college football that I grew up with. That's more of an NFL thing. Like, it's normal to see an NFL team make a run at the Super Bowl after going like 10-6 or 9-7. Like, we're used to that, but college football used to be about weeding out everybody, and you have to be flawless every week to win a championship. And I guess that's not the case anymore, which, like I said, it's exciting that there's more games and more teams have a shot, but I kind of miss that idea. And it was sad to think that that's probably not going to be the case anymore.
Dave, did you break into an emergency pod today to cover the Justin Tugger stuff?
I did not. No. No emergency pod. Mainly, I mean, I read the story. I read Tucker's response to it. It was a very thoroughly reported story with a lot of, corroborating accounts. I know, Tucker denied it across the board or whatever, but it certainly seems like the Baltimore Banner did their due diligence on that story. So troubling, and I guess, we'll see where it goes here over the next few weeks, but that was definitely a shocker to read earlier this afternoon.
I'd like to apologize for a second time in this interview for putting you in a no-win situation there. Dave, you're the man.
You're good at that. You're good at that.
Like I said, first round of Muffalettas on me in New Orleans next week, man. We love you. Thanks so much for the time.
You're the best, bro.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Can't wait to see David Hellman in his natural habitat.
He said it was a shocker.
Yeah. He knows.
He sure does. He sure does. He's a good sport.
Investigation.
Yeah. We love him. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. David Hellman, Fox Sports, one of our favorites here in the nation. All right, how about we do some hodgepodge next
year? Yeah, for more on the Justin Tugger stuff, we welcome in Jared Sandler next year in the nation. All right, the pregame for Rangers Hot Stove is officially underway. Here in the G-Bag Nation, top of the hour, Jared Sandler, Dave Raymond, I believe, joining the program tonight, 7 to 8 o'clock. All the Rangers baseball you can have, and Sandler sits in with us right now. Jared, happy Thursday, man. Happy Hot Stove Day to you. How are you?
Happy Hot Stove Day to you guys. I am great. I thought you really put the ball in the tee for Hellman to just, really put himself in a very safe I got you choked up there. I'm sorry.
That was emotional.
Yeah, it was a very safe way for him to answer a question without worrying about, what he says and how he answers it. That was great.
Oh, so you actually thought I handled that well?
I thought you handled it really well. I don't know that anyone handles stuff like that better than you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah,
you really do a beautiful job of it, man.
I know you've been itching to get to the Justin Tugger stuff, so yeah. Everything you got on that, feel free. Just unleash the beast.
Yeah, I'm curious how much the Browns are going to give up to trade for him and then sign him. I think that seems like...
They're ready to give him a guaranteed deal.
Yeah, it seems like that's... I mean, he kind of fits the profile of the guy they want to build their franchise around, right, Broadus? Justin Tucker to the Browns, it makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Makes Rod a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean,
they need a kicker.
Yeah, you make your division opponent a little bit weaker.
Yeah.
I think the largest contract the kicker's ever got, too. He's got to make history at the same time, right?
Yes, absolutely he does. All right, so now we do have the Pro Bowl skills game on, and one of the similar things in sports to the Pro Bowl, of course, is the NBA All-Star, and we just found out that there's no Kyrie. And there's no Luka.
What?
They've been snubbed.
Oh, this is ridiculous. I'm not even going to watch the game anymore.
Well, now you don't have to, really. I mean, you don't have any Maverick. Not that like, Luka takes the game seriously anyways. Let's just be honest about that. But he, of course, is deserving. Now, with the injuries, I guess I get it. But the Kyrie stuff, I mean, what are we doing here? Kyrie's having an unbelievable season. He's
one of my favorite drops.
I always forget about that last one.
Yeah, we gotta wait him all through. Yeah.
I mean, he's averaging 24 points, 5 assists, 5 boards per game, shooting 48% from the field, 42% from the 3-point line, and 90% from the free throw line. I don't understand how he is being snubbed here. Are you offended by this? Is anybody else offended by this? I know you're not a Kyrie guy, Jared. So
no,
you might
he's been way better. He's been a way better fit. He has not totally dismantled this team like he has previous stops. I mean, he's been great. I was wrong about him.
I mean, we got Jalen Williams is getting in for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And congrats to him. It's his first time. I'm sure he's thrilled. Kyrie's shooting. He's got more points per game, mm-hmm. better field goal percentage from the field and from the three-point line, free throw line as well. And the Mavs have been tearing up these Thunder.
They have.
They're the one team. I don't know. That's disappointing.
Do you think this has something to do, maybe I'm way off base about this, do you think there's some grudge from the league, from what he kind of put the league through with the stuff that happened at the other stops, that the league is like not a fan of his? And I'm just throwing that out there.
They love a redemption story.
You think, yeah, okay. I just wonder if they're still kind of holding a grudge on him, you know, like all the thing, you know, the things that he was saying and stuff like that, that maybe that, you know, people were talking about. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, the NBA is looking to get is the biggest draw possible right now. We're having all these ratings discussions. No one's going to the television to watch Jalen Williams. I mean, Kyrie Irving is a household name, and he's deserving of it with the season that he's putting together right now.
The only thing I'd say is, and this is not a Dallas-centric take, but like Kyrie's done it. It probably means a lot more for Jalen Williams. Like, just thinking like from a player's perspective, maybe he'll be an all-star several more times, but like the ability, you make so much money on being able to say like, I was an all-star, whether it's in like appearance fees or like post-playing or whatever, like it probably means a lot more. And then how many of these guys are going to back out? And then, you know, is Kyrie going to get in? Because the all-star rosters are usually twice the size of the initial announcement because people bail and injuries and whatnot.
Yeah, that's fair. So maybe he can sneak his way in there, but I actually like the idea of this being an added chip on the shoulder for Kyrie and Luka moving forward the rest of the way. I'm trying to pin the tail on the positive. You know what I'm saying?
Pin the tail on the positive. We used to do that a lot in some dark years for Rangers baseball. That was tough.
All right, guys, pin the tail on the positive.
Hey, you know, this guy was 1-for-5, and he only had 3 strikeouts.
Oh, hey, Danny Santana. He's on a 4-game hit streak.
Danny Santana. Man, we used to love the 4-game hitting streak back in the day.
Oh, loved a good streak.
Yeah.
While we're being vulnerable, though, like you admitted you were wrong about Kyrie, I got to say, Jared, I was wrong about Nick Sirianni. You were on Nick Sirianni. I hated his opening presser. I was like, I can't stand this guy. I still can't, but he has proven to be a good coach.
So I will admit, and you know this because you remember the origin of this, I think I came on the next day and I was like, how the hell can you tell me if this guy's a good or bad coach because of his opening press conference? Like, winning press conferences or losing press conferences really shows very little in terms of your ability to succeed as a coach. Like, Liam Cohen seems to be a really impressive offensive mind. His Duval yell screech thing was
Duval.
Like, that, I would never want that guy to lead me. But like, then I watched the Buccaneers. I'm like, I want that guy to lead my offense.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Broadus, you tell. I'm curious. Like, because I watch Nick Sirianni, and frankly, does he get fired if they lose that Rams game? Because he made some really questionable decisions.
He does that all the time.
I know. So like, I don't know. Like, Chuck, I don't know. Like, yes. You thought he was like a joke, and he isn't a joke, but like, I think the way we typically speak of coaches who lead a team to a Super Bowl twice in 3 years is probably of higher esteem than the way we speak of Sirianni, because it's, I mean, is that not more, it seems like it's more of a Howie Roseman thing than a Sirianni thing. That, like, didn't Hellman just say, I was heating up my food, but didn't Hellman say something about the roster and the depth and everything? It's like the anti-Cowboys roster because they're really good 1-22, but then 23 to the end of the roster. Like, I don't know. Are you impressed with Sirianni as a coach?
I'll tell you what, though. I mean, I
just don't know that you can make 2 Super Bowls in 3 years, even with a great roster, and just not
100%.
I tell you what, I'm impressed by, I think he's got his teams back.
Yeah.
I think he does. I think the players, like, he you know, when it seems like that things are kind of out of whack there, he kind of comes in there and says the right thing and, ah, we're okay and all. But, yeah, you have to give him credit to the last 3 years. Absolutely.
And you know what? And we all know that sometimes the stories that are reported are dolled up and Hollywooded up, and it's maybe not as lovey-dovey as the story, or like this, maybe it's never as bad. But like that story from, was it right before the season about his relationship with Jalen Hurts? And it really painted a picture where he was not stubborn and said, hey, I will also look in the mirror and figure out how I can better connect with Jalen Hurts after last year's, you know, really bad season for them, and then the mess with the offensive coordinator and whatnot. I mean, how many coaches do that, right?
True.
How many coaches willingly, it seems like willingly, will will make those sorts of declarations publicly. Maybe there's value in that. I don't know. Maybe that goes into what Broaddus is saying about having his players' backs.
I think these guys do play hard for him. Last year, though, when they lost all those games at the end, boy, I thought this guy was going to get fired. But, man,
he might have. He was close.
They brought him back. I mean, they made some adjustments with the running game stuff and all. I mean, you have to give him credit.
I just want to say, if I ever become an NFL head coach, Broaddus is going to be my big dom on the sideline with a headset on. I mean, like, what calls, you know, is Big Dom making some calls there? Like, with the headset?
I think Big Dom's calling out personnel, like, you know, 12, 12.
Yeah, I'm sure they're
He's probably
use.
Sending it in for
watch
Kellen.
Watch the screen. Watch the screen.
Peter.
Screen. Screen.
Hey,
you know what I would? You know, screen. How about this? I would actually watch this. Big Dom mic'd up during a game.
Oh, yeah.
I would watch that.
Oh, he'd love that.
Like Big Dom,
he hasn't seen a camera. He hasn't liked.
He was nice to us though.
He was actually really good.
Was he? When did you guys?
We met him like in the tunnel. Like he was just
the game. He got suspended from the sideline. He was like pacing back and forth under like
he was behind
outside.
So we went up and like him like, and I knew Butchie, who was my FBI guy in Philly, and he knew Butchie.
I love that, my FBI guy.
Yeah,
my
as
FBI
soon as Brian guy. Dropped Butchie, it was like, oh, you're part of the family.
He did. He looked at me like, oh, you know Butchie. Like, yeah, Butchie was my guy in Philly. And he goes, oh, all right. So they bought me a little more time with Big Dom. You know, he didn't like, let's like wave me off or anything like that. But we kind of, like, what do we say? Like, yeah, Big Dom, you're getting screwed.
Yeah.
We kind of threw
some. He's like, oh, man, you know, it is what it is. I'll be back there next week.
I'll be all right, man. Don't worry about me. I'm Big Dom.
I love that he keeps the chicken parm sandwich in his pocket.
That's a sick move.
Hey, that's the best way.
Pocket parm.
I think when I first started with the Rangers and I was trying to, like, just break the ice and get to know people, like, a player goes 0-for-4 one night and argues with a strike call and it's clearly a strike, like the next day I'm going to call us, man, like they really hose you. That pitch wasn't a strike. Like, I know, man, like it's the worst. And like you get to Big Dom, you got screwed. Oh, I know, man. Like,
yeah,
that's like,
what
a great way to
bond. We'll check
those in the Big Dom, you got screwed. Yeah, he's like a Philly fan. I'm like, I look at Wolchuk, yeah, you got screwed, Big Dom. Yeah, you're right.
After like Mike Leslie had that thing with Trayvon Diggs, go up to Trayvon the next day, man, that Leslie guy, like, I don't know, what's I know, man.
Nuts. It's a hell of a line,
dude. Love Mike Leslie. Good guy.
Jared, you mentioned Liam Cohen. Did you guys see that he's doubled down on a Duval double down?
Duval.
Did he do it?
He did it again.
Yeah, they asked him to do it.
He was better this time.
Okay. You know, let's be the arbiters on this. Right. Let's play the one from the initial intro presser. And this was the one that went super, super viral the other day. And then we'll tee up the next one that he just dropped from, I believe, earlier today.
Duval.
Okay, so that was the original one.
He went up. He shouldn't have went up. He's supposed to go down. Duval. Duval.
Yeah, it was weird.
Duval.
That's the first one still. I wanted.
Yeah, so Jared can hear it.
Yeah, Jared, so he can hear it. All right, here's the newest one.
Duval. Here we go.
Here we go. He's like proud of that one. He's like, yeah, I nailed it, guys. Didn't I get that one?
He stuck the landing on that.
That's
one.
That's an attaboy. Give me a tush slap for that.
He definitely felt more confident. And shout out to the local reporter in Jacksonville that teed him up for it. They just had like a one-on-one exclusive interview, and then at the end, he tees him up. And he's got no choice there, right? Like, you can't, if you're Liam Cohen, you can't deny that. You gotta go for it. And it seemed like he kind of went back to the drawing board, and I think he hit that second one a little bit better. But he is truly hilarious. Okay, so Walchuk mentioned earlier about Arch.
Duval.
Was that the original one?
No, that's the second one.
That was the second one.
He was practicing the mirror all night. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Trying to get it right.
He's like, I really need to emphasize the ooh.
Yeah, he hung tough. I love it. But yeah, Arch Manning getting the Red Bull endorsement.
That's what I was about to say. I wrote that down in my notes because they did an interview with him. The $6 million, he's wearing a Red Bull hat. So I bet you that's where he got his De Niro.
Yeah, yeah, it's it absolutely is. Yeah. He's teaming up with Red Bull, and now he's approaching $7 million.
Okay, like, all right.
In terms of his total NIL valuation.
All right.
So that is that's fantastic. I cannot wait for the Arch era to begin at the Shoe next season. Week one of college football is just absolutely loaded.
It is.
And that, of course, is the headliner. Okay, now we are going to get to Hot Stove, but I would love to kick around a little baseball with Jared right now. First of all, what do you have coming up on Hot Stove?
Dave Raymond's going to join us. He's going to join us.
He does enjoy us.
Well, clearly, I'm not a Stanford grad with an ability to speak.
Fight on.
We're fighting hard. Dave's going to join us, and we'll talk a little bit about Ranger Sports Network, and he'll answer some of the questions that, people have. And then Kyle Higashioka, who's going to join in, a tandem behind the plate with Jonah Heim. Former Yankee, former San Diego Padres, actually had some pretty awesome moments at Globe Life Field. He caught Corey Kluber's no-hitter on Corey Kluber's bobblehead night at Globe Life Field, and then he also was there for Aaron Judge's 60-second home run. So he's got a little bit of history with Globe Life Field. Last time the Rangers brought someone in who had a pretty impressive history with Globe Life Field was Corey Seager. That worked out very well.
Yep.
And then at 7:40, we'll answer some questions, give some updates. Nothing significant, but the Rangers did make some moves this past week, so we'll highlight that.
Can I ask you about the Ken Rosenthal report of Lance Lynn maybe being a closer?
Yeah, you're a guy.
I got excited about it. I was like, is there any way we can get Lance Lynn back?
So I just wonder, like, what would the cost be? Because if it's going to be around, like, $14, $15 million, wouldn't you rather maybe get
an established guy
like Carlos Estevez or someone? I know that Lance loved his time here. I know that, you know, the old front office that brought him in loved him. There's still some carryover there. So perhaps, you know, it's definitely possible.
He's got
the type of attitude that I think winning ball clubs can really benefit from.
I love it. All right. More Rangers conversation with Jared Sandler next year in the Nation.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Catching up with Jared Sandler as we lead into Rangers Hot Stove. Big show, Dave Raymond, Kyle Higashioka, and of course, probably some of you. Maybe your text, Jared Sandler, then you'll get the Fan After Dark. Don't worry, fatties. You're still going to get your dose of Blake and Fred. Blake's already here dipping strawberries into Nutella. Nice, delicious, sweet treat there for him.
I love the way he's doing it. He's just going right into the jar.
He's going bite for bite into the jar. It's amazing.
Prepping for Valentine's Day.
All right, Jared. As you prep and get ready for this, how was yesterday with the big announcement of the new TV network? I mean, I thought everything looked pretty badass. You got some new clothing to wear, and I'm excited for you, bro. This is going to be a cool opportunity.
Yeah, no, it's really exciting. I have hated it the last couple years for Rangers fans that there just really weren't great ways for some people to watch the games. And, you know, the accomplishment here is that no matter whether you're in market or out of market, everyone's going to have an option. So, if you don't have one of the cable providers that's going to be carrying the games, and I know there was a list yesterday, and I think there'll be a few more added in the coming weeks, then you've got Victory Plus. And if you're out of market and you know you want to watch the games, you obviously have the MLB app. The problem in recent years is that the MLB app doesn't work in market. There's a blackout, which is a weird MLB thing that sucked. But so you know there are all sorts of options. I think that's the coolest part, and we're really excited. I hope fans are excited. It seemed like the response was good. You know, positive, you know, really excited, you know, to welcome Laura Stickles to the team. She's going to tandem with Emily Jones as the dugout reporter. Unfortunately, she went to Stanford. We won't hold that against her. I'm going to get ganged up on between her and Raymond.
Was that a Dave Raymond recruit?
Dave, I'm sure had a little, it was like an NIL booster type situation. Yeah. But it should be a lot of fun. And I think the coolest part, I'll be doing some stuff on TV, but I'm not leaving the radio. I just now have to like actually think about what I'm wearing every day and my hair, which as you know me well enough that is like a legitimate challenge. So
you'd always dress nice for home games. So road games now you're actually not going to be able to come in with like flip-flops and a hoodie and a sweatshirt and sweaty.
I guess I could try it. It probably wouldn't go over so well. I will tell you, I don't want to like spoil anything. I don't think I'm going to have to deal with suits, thankfully.
Okay.
I think we're going to knock that out of the equation. And here's the deal. I don't know how much of this was communicated yesterday, a little bit, but like you know, we've had some conversations about what we want this to look like. And, you know, the reality is the baseball fan of the future and largely the present maybe as well doesn't necessarily like the things the way that the baseball fan of the past did. Mm-hmm. And we have the challenge of trying to bridge both together, right? We're not we're not ignoring the, you know, the older school fan, but we want to also be welcoming to the newer school fan. We want to be welcoming to the sports fan who is kind of on the fence about like this baseball thing. And so, you know, we're going to try a lot of things. We're going to, you know, want to be creative, have fun, and try and engage fans in a way that maybe, you know, we haven't in the past. And, you know, I'm sure there'll be some bumps along the way, but we're excited to do it. And you know, one of the things that we talked about first, like, are you up to babysitting Mike Bacsik on a regular basis? Yeah. Immediately called Dave Raymond. I'm like, can we tag team this? And he's like, all right, fine. I guess we'll have to. So, but I'm excited for Mike. He is so fired up.
He's pumped.
I mean, I get calls from Mike 3-4 times a week, just, you know, about whatever.
You ready?
He's fired up, and I'm fired up to get to work with him.
And Elvis?
Elvis be yeah. Part of it. That was like a given, right? Like, what better smile, fit huh? for Elvis? Yeah. He's good looking. He's got an awesome smile. He's charismatic. He likes to talk. The fans love him. He knows the game. That'll be a lot of fun. I know he's looking forward to it. It's actually kind of fun. Like, he's kind of giddy too. Yeah. He's like nervous that he's going to talk too much. And I'm like, dude, no one rambles more than me. I'll make you look good. I promise. And no one asks longer questions than Chief. So, you know, you got a high bar you're going to have to clear.
We got to replay the one question. Like, is this the most excited, like, for opening day, like you've ever been?
Oh, yeah.
Your response to that is incredible.
That was great.
Sorry.
That was so good.
That was awesome. But yeah, should be fun. I'm curious. Like, what are you guys? Like,
I'm excited, man. I didn't really understand at first. I kind of had to get the explanation of, like, okay, so are we simulcast? Like, are we losing you for pre and post, the simulcast deal? Are you still going to be here for road games in the studio, or where are you going to be?
Yeah,
now?
You guys, it's a big win for you guys. You're going to have to deal with me way less than you ever have.
We're not going
to
see. That's not a win. I'm going to miss you.
You're saying that on air to be nice. We all
can we call in and like prank you though?
Okay, guys. This is a Gavin,
TV deal.
This is a Gavin Spittle question.
I
don't extra innings. I'm not sure. I mean, I will not be. I do not believe I will be on extra innings.
You're not going to be on the air for the fan in the post game stuff because you're doing TV post game.
Well, no, the network post, which we've always done. Yeah. That's where we, you know, we interview a player, the manager, what have you.
Okay, so that'll be on both.
That will be on both. But then afterwards, you know, extra innings, the calls and everything.
Oh.
That could fall on a young rising talent in this building. And
Walchuk.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's risen.
I'm back, guys. If it means I get a World Series ring this year, count me in. Let's go.
But I don't know. I will. You know, I think the ability to do the pre and post on the radio as well and be able to connect both audiences will be a lot of fun.
It'd be cool.
Yeah, I don't know about the crosstalk.
I'm worried about that too because I enjoyed the
crosstalk.
Honestly,
this is not. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
If we can't get your pick to click before each game.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
You want to know the turning point and you know all these things, right?
Yeah, exactly.
How much time will we have?
What's the turning point in the game?
Yeah.
That is just phenomenal.
I'll miss the broadest. You still need to text me at around 6:15, the out time, whether I'm on or not.
Yeah. Lucius was nice enough to give it to me.
But I
just wanted to make sure you knew because nothing worse than like you're going on when you're rambling.
Dawson, like, rambling. All right, Jared, thanks. Bye.
He'll try to do like a clear of the throat. Like,
yeah.
Can you wrap it up?
Yeah.
What'd you think about Scherzer signing in Toronto?
It's
a fat payday, too.
$15 million? I don't know what I'm missing on that. That is a lot of money. I remember when the Rangers signed Andrew Kashner to a $10 million deal when he was coming off a year in which he had like a 5.5 ERA at like a super pitcher friendly park. And I'm like, all right, I guess that's just the going rate. I mean, he made 30 starts. Like, people pay for that. Well, I don't know. I mean, I hope Max can stay healthy. I think it's admirable that, you know, with everything he's accomplished, he could take it to the house and he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, he is one of the most dominant pitchers of his era, and really, if you look at the numbers, kind of all time, he's got nothing left to prove. You know, he's won a World Series, won two, thanks to his time in 2023. So, you know, he's, I think, I love that he's still going after it, but that's a lot of money for a guy who just hasn't shown that he can stay healthy. So, I don't know.
I mean, that guy had, you said 30 starts. I think we could put the over under at 29 and a half innings pitched.
I mean, that's, you're saying,
I'm not even joking.
But seriously.
He tried.
The nerve stuff, that's scary.
I know it was really frustrating for him last year because he would do everything to build up to a start, you know, his in between start bullpen and, you know, his running and this and that. And, you know, we talked to him the day before and like, oh, I'm so fired up. I'm ready to go. And then the next day it's like, yeah, Max has been scratched. And it's like, you know, he just couldn't get it going. And, I don't know. That's a Toronto team that's in an interesting spot. Broadus knows all about the politics when you've got a roster that's telling you one story, but you've got a general manager who's got a contract that's coming up, and he doesn't have the ability to maybe make some decisions that's for the better. And so I don't know. Maybe they're trying to find lightning in a bottle, but that's an interesting one.
Well, they seem like the bridesmaid for all of these big-time free agents.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, everyone's like
everyone, it's like, oh, they were next in line for Roky Sasaki. Yeah. You name the player. It's like the Blue Jays are there. They're Pete the
Alonzo.
Finalists.
Pete Alonzo. It's like, hey, we know they're like me in middle school. Like, if a girl ever wanted to make a guy jealous, they knew that, like, I would show interest because I was always a free agent. And then, like, They would talk to me, and then the guy realized that, like, okay, maybe it's not going to be a walk in the park. But then, unfortunately, later on, they realized, like, it's Jared. What am I worried about? Yeah, go talk to you. Have fun with that dude. Friend like, yeah, you'll be fine. You'll come running back to me. So eventually, teams will stop using the Blue Jays for leverage.
Hashtag the Rangers bullpen
is deeper than last year. Is, you know, Chris Young said something interesting, that they have a higher floor, which for a bullpen is an interesting comment because bullpens are so volatile. I do think, though, that obviously the big question is the ninth inning. And if the Rangers don't make a move between now and opening day, you know, maybe it's a mix and match. Maybe someone emerges. No matter what happens in spring training, let's all make a promise that when reliever A has this dominant spring training, we're not just going to assume that it's going to carry over. Right? Yeah. It might not.
Yep.
It's going to be mid-April, late April, when we really get an understanding maybe who can handle that role. And maybe, you know, maybe it's not going to be the same guy in May as it will be in July if a guy like Mark Church or Emiliano Teodo really kind of emerges. But it's just baffling that the Rangers haven't had the same closer for consecutive years since Joe Nathan. That's over a decade ago.
When you see the Kirby Yates dollars, does it add insult to injury? Like, it wasn't like they totally had, it wasn't $20 million.
Yeah.
It was what, 13?
13, yeah. I mean, that's...
But the luxury tax is real.
Yeah, you know, so for the Dodgers, that's, like a $27, $28 million deal, I think, right? It's easy to sit here and say, man, you know, $13 million for 1 year. That's the thing. It's 1 year. It's not a multi-year commitment, but he's old, and maybe the Rangers didn't feel good enough about his ability to hold up over the course of another season and didn't want to hamstring themselves with that contract to take away some financial flexibility when the trade deadline rolled around. So I don't know. I mean, it's easy to... we're all sitting here wanting them to fill that right need. And Kirby Yates was an all-star for the Rangers last year, so it's easy to say, let's bring him back. But I guess we'll have to wait and see. I mean, there's some options out there. Who knows if they pull the trigger, though.
Well-documented, your celebrity crush is Blake Lively. Have you been paying attention to
the Nats? I think her farts smell awesome, and I would stand behind her if she wanted to fart in my face.
Okay, all right, let's get on out of here, brother.
All right, perfect. Thank you so much,
Jared. Let's get on out of here, bro.
We're a full 24 hours.
We're a full 24.
All right.
More of that. Hot takes. We got hot stove. Coming up next with Jared Sandler. Thank you so much to Gavin Dawson, Brian Broaddus, Eric Shea. Follow the great Lucius Alexander. 5 hours flawless yet again. Carter Freeman running the video. I'm Zach Wolchek. Until tomorrow at the Omni in Frisco. Hugs and hand pounds, everybody.